If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Welcome to Triple Captain, going into game week 27. My name's Rich, you should know that by now. TalkSport football expert. Is that what we're going with?
Well, you're Radio X now as well, aren't you? Let's get that in.
Music expert also.
Yeah.
And Luke Jurdy.
And you play FIFA with bands as well.
And I play FIFA with bands. Full-time FIFA man as well. Just jack of all trade, expert of none.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah, and I'm Luke. I haven't got a poem this week because I am knee-deep in preparations for my for my work in progress sharing of my one-man show this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Liverpool Everyman Theatre, which background Ben and his lovely lady Gemma are coming to watch.
Mate, really excited.
It's exciting times. And
I'm gutted I can't see it.
I know, mate. Well, I'm going to film it.
Good.
So I can send you that, and hopefully I'm going to get some producers interested and, you know, take it further. So this is hopefully just the start, but yeah, most of it is spoken word, so there's a lot of rhyme poetry and stuff like that, which is why I can't possibly think about a poem for football as well.
Are you right using now any of your Triple Captain material in your one-man show? Is there an FPL scene?
You talk about this, is what Rich wants to know.
I was thinking about including it somewhere, something to do with me being a geek and writing down, because it's all about like toxic masculinity and the pressures of being a man and stuff, and how right. Like now, you know, now I don't really care. I'm a geek who sits and watches Match of the Day and writes notes and plans my fantasy football team out, you know, whereas the old me wouldn't want to admit that. So
there's potential
to put it in.
If you were 15 now, though, wouldn't that make you cool? If you were the FPL guy,
I think it probably would.
I think what makes it extra cool now is you're drinking from a mug that says "Sexy Beast" on it. that's also very, very cool.
All right, what's yours say, Rich? Perfect.
To be
princess.
Fair, mine does say "Perfect Princess." We are cool dudes.
Oh dear, it's brilliant. So let's. So game week 26 is still going on. We're recording this on Tuesday night, ahead of the City game tomorrow, which for people with, you know, 2-3 City players like Ben was a huge relief. I know the guy closest to me in the Hollyoaks mini league has triple captained Aguero this week.
Has he?
Yeah.
That's so brave.
Yeah, so brave, so random, but. When the game was postponed, I was laughing. I was like, I can't believe he's triple captain Aguero and he's going to get zero. But then obviously it's got rescheduled. So yeah. Hoping he's...
Someone who actually had worse luck than you with the triple captain.
Yeah.
I mean, you had that unlucky timer with Mane, but getting your game called off would be next level.
That is next country level bad luck. But yeah, they've rescheduled it for tomorrow. So game week 26 is still dragging on. But but I've had a good week.
How'd you get on?
At the moment, I've got 57 with Kevin De Bruyne are still to play. A lovely green arrow up to 135k overall. So I think if De Bruyne has a good game tomorrow and Aguero keeps fairly quiet, I should remain about that, I'd guess. Maybe slightly less than the 135 because I've only got De Bruyne. But
what points are you on then? What are you on overall?
1,486.
Oh my God, you're so close to me.
I'm 4 points behind you.
I'm ranked...
I'm coming.
I'm 120k at the moment. So there's a difference. 4 points is 15,000 spots.
Yeah. Not a lot in it.
So close.
But yeah, most of my players returned. I mean, despite the Salah captain blank, Alexander-Arnold got 7, Egan 6, Soyuncu 7, Abdoulaye Doucouré, top scorer with Doucouré. 9 points.
You were moaning about him last week.
I was, and he came in and bagged a goal. And then Martial last night as well, my two differentials, mate, both returning this week. Aubameyang as well with an 8, which was nice. And then Vardy and Jimenez and Pope with 2 each. But then, yeah, Brandon Williams on the bench with 5, Lundstrom on the bench with 7.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they've all returned. I mean, if the Salah captaincy had gone well, I could be sat here, you know, with 75, 80 points now. But
yeah.
Alas, it wasn't to be. But yeah, a nice green arrow. I mean, the trouble is at the moment, I kind of look at my team and despite that good week, I still would change probably 6 or 7 players.
Mm.
So I am considering a wild card at some point. I don't think I'll play it before game week 27 as we've only got a couple of days, but I might play it before, you know, rather than saving it till the end, like I think a lot of people will do. So yeah, we'll talk about that. What about you?
I had a decent week. I was above the average, got 45 in total. Still got a red arrow though, but I think I only dropped about 3,000 places. Like, honestly, it's next to nothing that I've dropped. So it's not too much of a red arrow, really. Patricio got me a clean sheet. And I think he got 3 bonus points as well. Yeah, 10 in total from Patricio after me slaying him last week.
He's really delivered, hasn't he, in the last few weeks?
Yeah, two weeks on that. He got a clean sheet against Man United, now a clean sheet against Leicester. My only concern for Wolves is that's now 2 games where they haven't scored. And that was when I brought Traore in. So Traore might have to go out now, unfortunately.
Why didn't he start on the bench?
Was it a fitness thing or just a rest? I don't know.
Must have been a fitness thing, surely. Or maybe it was just a vendetta against me. Who knows? I think he went off against Man United, didn't he? So maybe he got a bit of a knock in that game the week before last. So yeah, unfortunately, he only got me 1 point after coming on from the bench. TAA got me 7. And Aubameyang got me 8, and Ings netted for the first time in 5, is it, I think Ings got? Yeah, first goal in 5 for Danny Ings. So it was nice to see him get on the score sheet, and Jamie Vardy didn't score either for Leicester, did he? So it was a right decision to get him out and get Aubameyang in. So yeah, 45 in total with De Bruyne to play, who I'm hoping, you know, will get me at least an assist or something like that. But yeah, decent week overall, really. What about you, Ben? How did you get on? Have I done the worst this week out of everyone?
Yeah.
Oh,
I got 52 with 3 to play. So those 3 are Ederson, De Bruyne, and also Mahrez. Now, obviously, you know, Pep rotation and all that, but I've just got a little feeling about Mahrez. So,
who's your first sub if Mahrez didn't play?
Hayden from Newcastle, which is stupid because I got Soyuncu as second sub.
So
I'm a bit annoyed about that. But having said that, my defence I'm pretty happy with. Alexander-Arnold and Lundstrom, I stuck with the Lord. He got 7 points. Van Dijk, 6. Grealish with a 6 because he got his assist. Salah, unfortunately, put the captain's armband on him. So only got 6 points for him overall. But front line, Jamie Vardy letting me down and letting a lot of people down.
Yeah, another just a steady 2, wasn't it? What are you going to do about the Lord? Are you going to keep him in now for another week?
Yeah.
See if he plays? Yeah, I think I might do
I've been
that.
Following Sheffield United on Twitter and they've been posting a load of pictures of him in training.
About the Lord?
Yeah, he's obviously coming back into favour. I just think fair play to him.
Did you hear him refer to himself as the Lord?
No,
as well?
He didn't.
Yeah. He knows. What? He knows all about it. He said,
"You kidding me?"
No, because his teammates like have him in their FPL team, and he's talking about it. He's like, "Yeah, they benched me. They benched me." I said, "Well, you know, you don't bench the Lord."
What a lad!
Yeah.
He's a funny guy, old John Lundstrom.
But yeah. I have to say, in terms of up front, Vardy let me down, but Danny Ings, 7 points. And Calvert-Lewin with 11 points. I was absolutely shocked.
Dominic.
With some such great fixtures to come. I mean, you know, he's got a couple of rough weeks, but they're running to the back end of the season, which isn't too bad, Everton, is it? Although, having said that, I did keep Calvert-Lewin in, and I always said I'd have him up until these next few games. So.
Yeah, I mean, you just said they've got a good the fixtures. They've got Arsenal, United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
They had a great run of fixtures.
Sorry.
Up until now.
Yeah.
I think that might be a little passing gift from Calvert-Lewin this week. I think he might be my 1-3 transfer this week.
I don't know. They're doing well.
Calvert-Lewin is the kind of guy who gets our consolation goals.
Yeah.
So when we lose 5-1, he's the one who's got the tap
he's
in at the back.
Cheap as well. I mean, who are you gonna replace him with that price?
Ighalo at 6.5 million.
Ighalo, I tell you what, he nearly scored last night as well. He was through on goal. He had a couple of good touches.
Did he come on?
Yeah, maybe, he came on. He nearly scored. Yeah, it's
maybe
good save from
Villa. Maybe get behind the Villa boys again. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm going to listen to this podcast and then hopefully you guys are going to tell me, oh my God, look at Villa's fixtures. Ooh. Oh God, we've got a horrible end to the season. Ooh,
you're going down.
Who are your next 3 games?
So Southampton away next. Then we've got Leicester, Chelsea. I mean, it's almost offensive that FPL say that away at Newcastle is an even game. It's not a red or a green. It's just a My God.
You're going to have a tough end to the season because you had a really unlucky result as well, didn't you, the other night?
Well, then, you know what? I actually think, I was talking to some of the Villa fans up in Liverpool about this the other day in the pub, and I think that we've done all the right things in January. We've bought in Pepe Reina. We've bought in Samatta. Everyone forgets that John McGinn's going to come back. I think we're going to have a much better end to the season than teams like Bournemouth or teams like Norwich. So anyway, we're going off piste. But up the Villa.
You've got to get that in there, don't you? So in the itinerary for today, three topics. As always, the first thing we're going to talk about is the double game weeks that are going to be coming up over the next few weeks. Luke's going to fill us in more on that because I have absolutely no idea what's going on here because there's some teams that aren't playing as well. So Luke Jurdy is the man to fill you in for that. We're also going to talk about Son's gone. Heung-min Son out for the season with a broken arm, which is a bit of an odd one. I can't believe he's going to be out for the whole of the season with that, but anyway, who are you going to
think he got that from Mourinho off?
maybe. I didn't say that on the Sky Sports article that I read. Yeah, but
you will have to blank that. Please do. God, please do.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about replacements for Heung-min Son after his tragic injury, and we're also going to be talking about mid-table madness and how pretty much any team from 4th to 11th could get Champions League this season, which is insane. Imagine Burnley end up playing in the Champions League this season. It's just ridiculous because I thought they were going down at one point.
Yeah, it would be pretty mad that. Good. Yeah. Thanks for that, Rich. So should we talk blanks and doubles?
Yes, let's do that.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode.
So you're the man who can explain this better than me because I literally have no idea when this is going to fall.
Yes. So basically, a lot is still up in the air at the moment in terms of blanks and doubles, but it's worth, you know, starting to think about how you're going to plan your team to tackle those events. So it's whether you decide to use chips to navigate them or whether you decide to plan transfers in advance. I mean, I think last year I used a spreadsheet. I think I had a lot more time on my hands last year. I used a spreadsheet to kind of plan my transfers in advance to navigate the blanks, you know, using two frees here and there to get players in that will be playing during the blank game week, and then choosing when to play free hit, when to play bench boost, and when to use that all important wild card if you haven't already. So the person to follow on Twitter who knows all about this is Ben Crellin, at Ben Crellin, CRELLIN. And he basically fills you in on all the information about the blanks and double game weeks. So he will explain it even better than me if you go on his Twitter. But just a brief overview. The schedule for the blank and double game week this season is the double game week 24, which we've already had when Liverpool and West Ham had two games, where Mane got injured and ruined my triple captain.
but you're not bitter about it.
I'm not bitter about it. And then there's blank game week 28, which is the EFL Cup final. So at the moment, right. Game week 28 is set in stone. So there's four teams that will not play in game week 28. Those four teams are Manchester City, Arsenal, Sheffield United and Aston Villa. So
okay,
you need to plan for, obviously, next week is game week 27. The week after that, City, Arsenal, Sheffield United and Villa all blank. So for me, that means Aubameyang's not playing. It means De Bruyne's not playing. It means Egan's not playing. And it means Lundstrom's not playing.
That's so, some big money transfers to make there as well, so, isn't it, to replace them.
For well, it's either you... I mean, I almost certainly won't be getting rid of De Bruyne because then he'll have a double. So what you've got to remember is, as well, is the teams that blank in game week 28 are all going to have a double later on to make up for that blank. So it's who you decide to get out. I mean, I'll more than likely get rid of Aubameyang before 28 because I think, what's the point in having Aubameyang when you can have someone like Danny Ings for 4.7 cheaper, who scores just as many goals, or 3.7 cheaper, who at the moment his goal scoring record is just as good as Aubameyang's. I don't see the point in having someone like him in my team at the moment. And then it'll probably be Lundstrom because there's no guarantee he starts anymore. So that kind of covers me. And then I'll bench De Bruyne and Egan that week. So that's kind of a basic plan for game week 28, where only four teams blank. Then it starts to get a bit more complicated. So blank game week 31 is the one after that, where there might be very few fixtures for blank game week 31. So
this one's not confirmed yet.
This one's not confirmed. Now, Ben Crellin does blank, he does percentages and permutations for game week 31.
Oh, good work.
So There's like a really cool spreadsheet here. So game
week.
No one's
ever said that. There's a really cool spreadsheet right here.
He is absolutely brilliant, Ben Krellin, because he's just all of this information, fantastic. So he does percentages. So basically, Chelsea versus Manchester City has got 94% chance that they will blank in game week 31, because they'll blank if Chelsea beat Liverpool or if Manchester City beat Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. Right. So, and then Manchester United versus Sheffield United has got a 92% chance of blanking, because if United beat Derby or Sheffield United beat Reading, then that fixture will be a blank as well. So there's a chance there that four teams, you know, kind of 90% chance that four teams will blank in game week 31. And then the percentages go on from that. So I think the best thing to do is get on Ben Krellin's Twitter, because it explains it. It's visual. You'll be able to see it rather than me explaining. But it just means that you need to kind of plan. So at the moment, I would probably think, and then he also does game week 34 as well. So there'll be a blank game week 31, and then there's a blank and a double game week 34. So some teams will blank in game week 34, and some teams will have a double in game week 34.
Oh my God, that's so mental.
And then there's a double game week in 37, which could be huge. Jesus. Yeah. And there'll be another double game week if a team gets three postponements. So there's a chance, like Man City have a big fixture pile up. If they get far in the FA Cup, there's a chance that they'll get more than two double game weeks, etc., etc. So nothing's set in stone, but the percentages are there. So, I mean, you know, you can be pretty confident that Chelsea, Man City, Man United, Sheffield United, Leicester, Brighton, Southampton, Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham will probably all blank in game week 31 if things happen in the FA Cup. So therefore, you might be thinking about using your free hit for that week.
Yeah. Have you two both got your wild cards in place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good to keep hold of that for these, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, and Ben's tweeted here that the popular chip strategy will be free hit in blank game week 31, wild card in game week 36, bench boost in double game week 37, and triple captain in a smaller double game week, which I've already played mine, obviously, in that smaller double game week. But
Yeah.
So, and I think that's probably about right what people will plan for, because obviously, if you wild card in 36, then you can choose players that have good fixtures or double fixtures in game week 37, and then play your bench boost in 37.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a waste, though, to keep your wild card for that long, bearing in mind you've only got 2 weeks?
Well, that's the argument. That's the argument that people that have played it earlier are making. Yeah, because they're saying, well, yeah, you're literally playing it in order to play the bench boost the week after. Mm. So if your team's in dire need of change and you want to get 6, 7, 8 players out, do it now. Definitely. That's what the FPL General's done. That's what I think Neil Murray, is another popular Twitter user, has done. And I think, yeah, there's no point letting your team go red arrow, red arrow, red arrow, but to try and rescue it all in the last two game weeks.
What's the point in that?
That's what you've got to start. You know, if you take FPL as seriously as us, which I'd imagine you do if you're listening to this podcast, that's what you need to start doing, is planning for that. Look at Ben Krellin's Twitter and start thinking about your team and thinking, well, what's my plan here? When am I going to use my chips? What transfers am I going to make? Am I going to try and ride out blank game week 31 without using a chip, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Because a free hit might be a little bit of a waste if only four, six teams are playing in game week 31. What's the point in doing a free hit and filling your team with, you know, Bournemouth? I think the teams that are definitely playing in game week 31 are Wolves, Bournemouth, Burnley and Watford. I mean, is there any point playing a free hit and then putting 3 Wolves, 3 Bournemouth, 3 Burnley and 3 Watford in your team? Probably not, because it's only two fixtures. They might draw 0-0. So yeah, that's basically, in a nutshell, blank and doubles explained for now.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to help more people discover us.
Son has gone. So what do we do about Heung-min Son? I mean, I haven't got him in my team, but if I was to play my wild card tomorrow, he was one of the first names on the team sheet, and I was planning on bringing him in at some point. What do we do about him? What are the plans going forward for the team? Are there better replacements for him?
It's difficult for us in FPL. Imagine how difficult it is for Jose Mourinho at Tottenham. Like, I mean, they're lucky that they've just brought in that Bergwijn. He's a very similar kind of player to Son, plays in the same position, obviously. But I can't see myself picking any Spurs players unless I was to take a massive gamble on Bergwijn. How much is he coming in at? Let's have a look.
He's 7.5.
Is he? So, you know, it's like
certainly,
the same price as...
Certainly wouldn't. Yeah, I'm certainly not interested.
As Madison and Richarlison and that sort of thing. And I think I'd rather invest in either of them, to be honest. But I can't see myself going for anybody else at Tottenham. Ben, do you still have Dele Alli in your team?
No, I got rid of him a few weeks ago. I bought in Mahrez instead. In fact, this week, I bought... It feels like a couple of weeks ago because this game week's been so long.
Yeah. So I just can't. I can't see them doing anything else at all. Mourinho's came out and said about Troy Parrott, the young lad... He might be the one who has to come in, even though he's completely unprepared and not ready to play at Premier League level. Maybe Lamella, if he's fit. Is Lamella fit? I can't think of what Tottenham are going to do. They're just stuck.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in their players. Obviously, Eriksen's gone. Yeah, I mean, Dele Alli's just, I mean, blank, 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 13 points and then blank, blank. He's done nothing, has he, for, you know, a good six to seven game weeks. Apart from that performance against Norwich. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to fork out 8.4 million for him. I think really if
there's
I had...
There's nobody at all.
There's nobody around that price bracket. If I had Son in my team, and I think, you know, most people have already got De Bruyne, so there's not really much point in shouting, oh, get De Bruyne in for Son, because most people have already got him.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the Mane-Salah double up again? What are your thoughts on that at the moment? I mean, Mane's now only owned by 21%.
Yeah, and he scored at the weekend, didn't he?
Scored. He's back.
Rewarded people who kept him in.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to double up. I think I'm going to keep Salah in for the meantime. He's 12.5 million. It's outrageous price.
Well, he's 12.8 now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. I got him in for 12.5. I mean, just going back to Spurs, Lucas Moura is available for 7.1, and presumably...
He's going to need to step up, isn't he?
Exactly. So... I think if I was to take a punt on any kind of Tottenham player, it'd probably be Lucas Moura. In fact, I remember at one point earlier in the season, Ben came out and said that he reckons Lucas Moura is going to get more goals than Harry Kane this season.
I did.
And you know what? Because Harry Kane's been out all season, you might be right.
we shall see. I think it was a provocative episode title, that's for sure. But Harry Kane's like goals this season, I'm just going to Google
11.
He's
on 11 at the moment, and Lucas Moura is on 4. I hope you're right. And if, you know, if he gets one every game, then he could be in there. But if it was to pick anybody, it might be Lucas Moura, because he turned it on at the end of last season, didn't he? Remember him scoring the hat-trick against Ajax in the Champions League semi-final?
Yeah. I just kind of worry for them, like you say. It's their fixtures are tricky. Chelsea away, then Wolves, then Burnley, then Man United. So not great fixtures in the near time, in the near future. So
I'm thinking I might take a punt on Lucas Moura. He is playing in every game. He's just not really getting involved too much. So if you look at the last few games, he got an assist against Manchester City. And then, nothing else really doing for Lucas Moura. But
he's going to have to step up. He's going to have to step up. So,
and he's going to have more responsibility. So I'd like to think that would rub off on him quite well.
Maybe he's worth a punt, yeah.
I think he might be, because like you say, we went through the Everton fixtures before, and I'm not really liking the look of that for Richarlison. So maybe Lucas Moura could be the guy to bring in for your replacement for Heung-Min Son if you were to go for anybody from Spurs.
Yeah, Everton's fixtures are tough, aren't they? Arsenal away, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Norwich away, then Leicester, then Spurs. Yeah, I mean... I think if you're gonna have anyone, it's Calvert-Lewin. I think he's probably
definitely the best value.
Yeah. I mean, Richarlison's great. I think he's had a brilliant season again, hasn't he? And I think he's outdone kind of what everybody expected of him. So I certainly wouldn't bet against him. But with those fixtures, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, what about Nicolas Pepe? Arsenal's fixtures are fantastic. He's just got 17 points. Is it finally time for him to step up?
I'm thinking, it is difficult. I was going to ask you this very question, actually. I still think for 9.1, he's just still too expensive.
Yeah.
You know, if he was half a million less, maybe 0.7 less, then I'd probably get him in.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal have shown improvement under Arteta. You know, they're unbeaten in the last five.
Speaking of Nicolas Pepe, this is a perfect moment to talk about my zombie team.
Oh.
Now... My zombie team is really
this is
quite,
emotional for you, isn't it?
This is really quite painful. My zombie team, bearing in mind, I picked 15 players at the start of the season. I'm not allowed to make any changes. No chips are allowed. No wild card, no triple captain, nothing. Nothing gets changed. At the moment, their overall rank is 29.49k.
Oh, God, they're in the
top 30,000. I'm fourth. I'm fourth in the Who Got the Assist Zombie League.
Oh my God.
I've got Nicolas Pepe in my zombie team. Oh. He just got me 17 points.
17 points? A goal and two assists, was it?
I mean, it's just unbelievable. This team have done so well. I've got Vardy and Jota up front. I've got a midfield of De Bruyne, Salah, Ayoze Perez and Pepe. And my defence are Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, Dean and Guibert of Aston Villa with Pope in goal. And yet they are top 30k in the world right now. I can't believe it.
Your mindset in August was absolutely spot on there.
Yeah. But then you look at my team and you think, what, Pepe and Ayoze Perez in midfield? But somehow. Salah's been my captain all season. And obviously he's the top scoring player in the game. So that's helped. But yeah, so, I've had Vardy all season as well. Who was vice captain? So I think that's really helped. But yeah, God, it's painful to look at when I've spent so much time on my other team.
So would you bring Pepe in now?
No, I'm with you. I think it's too expensive, too much of a risk. Yeah. He hasn't been playing every game, has he? I mean, that game might have just been a one off.
I mean, it was Newcastle at home, wasn't it? So you know, Newcastle aren't the greatest of sides, with all due respect, to Steve Bruce.
You're right.
I think that's the ideal sort of team for them to come against.
I mean, around that price bracket, there's not really anyone, is there, at the moment? I mean, Richarlison's great, but his fixtures, we don't like Ali. We don't want Mahrez. He's too much of a risk. Pepe's too much of a risk. And then you've got De Bruyne, Mane and Salah. Mm. And I think really the best option now for your three Liverpool players is two defenders and Salah or Mane. And so, yeah, in terms of that, Madison's not doing that great, is he? What about Bruno Fernandes?
See, this is a guy I want to bring in. What was he like against Chelsea? I didn't watch the game.
He's great at set pieces. He wasn't really involved in the game as much as he should have been, but his set pieces were superb. I mean, thank God Fred stepped aside and let him. I mean, Fred, he started taking the corners and it was making me grit my teeth. And then we had a free kick and Fernandes took it, hit the post, and then he took a corner straight on Maguire's head. Bang, back of the net, Harry Maguire, 2-0, Bruno assist. And United's fixtures are very good now up until the end of the season.
Watford this game week, innit? And they are just leaking goals at the back. You know what? I might have to bring in Fernandes. I get carried away.
All that's left, I mean, bearing in mind that Man United can't play against the bad team, so this might not be good at all. But out of all the fixtures that are left, they only play City and Leicester and Spurs. But from the top six last year, they only play City, Spurs and Leicester. Is it time? Is it time to bring Fernandes in? I've got Martial, who bagged a goal yesterday.
That's what I was going to say. Who would you have? You'd have Martial, surely, over Fernandes. Would you?
Yeah, I'd stick with Martial at the moment, purely because he's already in my team. If I had to pick one right now, I'd maybe go Fernandes.
Because you know that Watford is going to try and defend, aren't they, against Manchester United and try and play on the counter-attack with Delafeu and the like.
I also think it might be time for
a free kick.
Yeah. I also think it might be time for Ighalo to start.
You reckon it's Ighalo's time?
I think against his old club, I think he'll try Martial on the left, James on the right, and Ighalo up top, yeah.
I cannot believe this is a conversation we're having. Ighalo down the middle for Manchester United. I think Madison's time may be up, and I think the guy who may come in will be Fernandes. But I've got a feeling as soon as they take out Madison, you know, he's just going to knock one in, because Leicester are out of form and they are due a result. But they are playing Man City, so who knows?
I think they might beat Man City.
I reckon they might as well. I'm more confident in Manchester United beating Watford than I am Leicester beating Man City, though. So
yes, yeah. But I think it might be time for Vardy to bang again against Man City.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at @TripleCaptain3.
So should we talk about our third and final topic? A very nicely titled mid-table madness. Great name there, Ben.
Thank you.
Why you're producer man.
So it's the world's worst superhero. Producer man.
Producer man. Produces everything.
I'm going to come in and organise this situation.
Cool. So producer man has set up mid-table madness for us to talk about these teams in this like no man's land of mid-table that could potentially get into European positions. So from 4th to 11th, was it? Chelsea to Burnley, they're only separated by 7 points. Most of the teams who are in that mid-table section don't deserve to get European football, so I think a lot of teams are going to get European football without having played very well. But I think this running towards the end of the season is just impossible because nobody seems to go on any kind of run of form. I think Everton are the best team in form at the moment in the league, bar Liverpool. So you could have a case for them, but supporting Everton my whole life, I've got a feeling they're probably going to, you know, lose at least one of the next 4 fixtures that we went through before. Who do you reckon is going to get those European places? If we say for now that Manchester City are going to lose their Champions League spot, because
that's been the ruling. That's definitely going to happen. Okay, what a lovely
that
world
would
to
open.
Be in.
That would open 5th as a Champions League space, mm-hmm. which is currently occupied by Sheffield United. 6th would then become a Europa League place.
It's occupied by Tottenham at the moment. 5th,
yeah, and then. Presumably, the winner of the FA Cup will be one of those teams in a European position, which will then open another European slot, which will make 7th a Europa League spot as well. I think I'm right in saying.
Right, okay. I think we should start with Burnley in 11th, and we should go through each team, and we should say where they're going to finish at the end of the season, what position, and who, if any, players are you interested in for the last 12 game weeks to bring into your team. So let's start with Burnley. Where do you think they're going to finish?
I think they'll probably finish in the bottom half. I just don't think they've got any kind of like style. They tend to go through these like peaks and troughs of form. And you know, they've won 3 of their last 4 games and they're in decent form at the moment, but then they'll go through another patch where they don't win in 5 and they'll teeter on the edge of relegation once more. But I can't see them getting a European place. If I was to have anybody from Burnley, it would probably be the goalkeeper, Pope, in all honesty. He's such good value. He's one of the top scoring goalkeepers in the game. I can't see anybody else in Burnley who attracts me, really, apart from maybe Wood. I don't know, but he doesn't really float my boat, to be honest. So yeah, it'd be Pope, and I think Burnley will finish bottom half, probably. What about you?
Yeah, not much more to say from me. Completely agree with you, mate. I think they'll finish bottom half. I've got Nick Pope, and I've had him all season. Probably not going to change him until I play my wild card, and then I'll probably just change him for the sake of it. Yeah. So, yeah, completely agree. Next is currently in 10th, Arsenal.
So there is some players who interest me at Arsenal. I was thinking of bringing in Saka this week, actually. He seems to be a regular for Arteta. He's only 4.5 million, young lad. I think he got man of the match, actually, against Newcastle in the last game week. So I consider bringing him in as a cheap option. Maybe drop Cantwell, because Cantwell's kind of been hit and miss, or maybe Traore, because Traore's got these injury issues. I'll make that decision when a bit closer to the deadline. I've got Aubameyang in my team. He is still very expensive for what he does, but you just know every now and then you're going to get a goal out of him. And yeah, I just don't think Arsenal will get any European football. Arteta's definitely just starting off this project, so I think they need a season without European football as any kind of distraction for them anyway. So I think this season's just going to be like, you know, going down the gentle river for Arteta. He's not going to be stressed too much about where they finish in the league table this season. But if I was to have anybody from Arsenal, it probably would be Aubameyang, and maybe Saka in at the cheap option too.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I don't think they'll get European football, but I think there's a chance that I'm going to say that they'll finish 7th. I'm going to say they'll finish seventh. I think they've got good fixtures. They've got really nice fixtures coming up. I think they've got a chance to kick on after beating Newcastle 4-0. Lacazette could be a nice differential to finish the season with if he continues to play up front. Obviously, I've got Aubameyang at the moment, but like I said earlier, I'm probably going to move him out for someone like Danny Ings, because I just don't see the point in that extra money for him. It's not like he's pulling up trees. He's doing all right, but in a 4-0 win for him only to score 1 goal and get no assists, I'm a bit disappointed. And obviously they blank in game week 28, so they'll have a double game week after that. So he might be worth holding on to for a double game week.
Could be a good captain's armband, couldn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, pretty much the same as you there. Everton in 9th currently.
We've been in good form and we're definitely playing well, but we've still got these defensive frailties. So I wouldn't pick any defensive players for Everton. Having said that, I have got Mason Holgate in my side, but that's just because he often goes into midfield and gets involved with the midfielders. I think he's got like one goal this season, but he's just kind of in there making up the numbers at the back, to be honest. If I was to pick anybody from Everton, it'd probably be Calvert-Lewin. Said this before, he's good value. He's in the best goal-scoring career season of his career. I don't want to jinx it, but I think we might get into European positions. The last one, maybe. We might squeeze into a Europa League spot where we have to start our season in July, just because of the form we're in. And Everton traditionally tend to have a good end to the season after having a poor start to the season. And I think we've probably got one of the best managers out of that group of potential European contenders as well. So I'd like to think that we can get European football. Maybe seventh, I think we'll finish the season.
Okay, good.
Do you disagree?
I think you'll stay in ninth.
Okay.
The fixtures in the, you know, Arsenal, United, Chelsea, Liverpool coming up in the next four, they're going to be tough to navigate. And if you lose all four, I don't think you will, but if you did, you could suddenly drop to, you know, 12th, 13th, and then you've got a fight on your hands to get back up to those spots. So I think if the fixtures were nicer, because then you've got Leicester and Spurs as well. So I think if the fixtures were nicer, then I'd maybe say, yeah, Europe. I love Richarlison as a player, but I'm not really interested in him until the fixtures clear up. And Calvert-Lewin's a great option again when the fixtures turn. And I think if you've got him, you keep him through the difficult fixture run. He's cheap and he's banging form. And like you said earlier, he could get your consolation goal. So yeah, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin. I think Everton will finish ninth. Wolves.
Okay. Wolverhampton. I've only had him in for one game week, Jimenez, but I still think he's probably the best option at Wolves. I do like the look of Doherty, and I do like the look of Traore as well, especially for his price. I'd like to see Wolves get into Europe. I think they deserve it. They look like one of the better teams in the Premier League this season. Obviously, they're still in Europe and that sort of thing as well. And I just think the manager, Espirito Santo, is one of the best coaches in the league. I'd have loved him to have come to Everton when we were, you know, deciding who we were going to get to replace Marco Silva. Not that he would have came, obviously. But I think they get European football. I could see them getting into fifth or sixth, honestly. You know, they've done a European campaign before. They seem to have the depth in their squad. And the way that Nuno Espirito Santo gets them playing, I feel like they could easily just build up some momentum and snowball their way into one of those European spots. But if I could pick anybody from Wolves to have into your team, even though I've got Patricio, who's not really been great this season, but he has been the past few weeks, I'd probably go with Jimenez again, to be honest. He'll start scoring again at some point.
Yeah, I love Jimenez. I think he's great. He's been in my team for quite a few weeks, and I don't see any reason to move him out, especially as their fixtures are nice. They've got Norwich, then Spurs, which is tough, but then Brighton, West Ham, Bournemouth, Villa, really nice fixtures. I think Wolves, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Wolves finish sixth. And yeah, Jimenez is the man, and I think Traore is a great option as well, despite not starting against Leicester. I think he's a really nice option for 5.8 million. Particularly if you've got him as a fifth midfielder. I mean, that's great. But even as a fourth midfielder, I think he's proved this season that what he's about and is a good option. Manchester United.
I don't know. It's so difficult with Manchester United because they look great at times and dreadful at times. And that's just been their whole season. Mm-hmm. Where are they now? Eighth?
Seventh.
I reckon Manchester United will just about miss out on European football. But I think that'll be a good thing for Manchester United because it just gives them time to focus on the Premier League. It gives Ollie more time to just develop his squad. There's still the whole thing surrounding Pogba. I think once the Pogba thing is sorted, whether he's going to stay, whether he's going to go, it's going to be a big, interesting summer for Manchester United in terms of recruitment. He keeps talking about being able to get these exciting talents despite not having European football, which I think is him sort of, you know, cushioning the blow for when they don't get European football. Yeah, I think they'll just miss out Manchester United, unfortunately, to say. But if I could pick anybody from Man United, probably Martial, to be honest. I think he's still good value at 7.9. I just need him to score a few more goals, really. What about you?
Well, it's got to be Harry Maguire, surely, for his goal-scoring prowess.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No. I mean, we kept a clean sheet yesterday, but it was quite lucky, really, wasn't it? VAR really went our way. Maguire should have probably been sent off, and then he banged a header in. So, yeah, we were a little bit lucky there. But, you know, a win's a win, so I was happy with that. And I think we'll sneak into fifth. I think Chelsea are in trouble at the moment. They're in a bit of a crisis. I think Tottenham are in big trouble now that they've lost Son. So I think United have got every chance of sneaking into fifth. Yeah, I'd probably steer clear of United for the next few fixtures at least, just to see what happens. What about Sheffield United?
I think they'll stay where they are. I think they'll get a European campaign. It could well be a Champions League campaign, which is insane to say that at the beginning of the season, because I think they were everybody's favourites to go down. But yeah, I think they'll probably get fifth and potentially even fourth. And yeah, I think they'll get Champions League football, to be honest, Sheffield United, and fair play to them. They've absolutely deserved it if they do.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue with that, but I can't see it. I think they might lose a couple of games and drop out.
Yeah,
drop,
it's hard to imagine
those
Sheffield United being in the Champions League.
Yeah, I can imagine Wolves. I can't remember what I've said now, to be honest.
I've lost my table in my head somewhere.
With exact position. So apologies if we say that one team's going to finish in the same spot as another team, but I can
hopefully
see,
nobody's writing this down.
Yeah, I can see Sheffield United dropping out of those European places, and it being it being Chelsea fourth, United fifth, Wolves sixth, Tottenham seventh. But saying that, their defence, yeah, any one of their defenders is a great option. I'd like to replace Lundstrom with another Sheffield United defender so that I've got Egan and him. But just bear in mind, they blank in game week 28. So I'll probably hold off making that move until after. Yeah, that about covers them. Spurs, we've kind of covered Spurs, haven't we, really?
Yeah. We talked about the players before. Nobody really stands out for them to be selected, apart from maybe Lucas Moura, but he's still a massive, massive gamble. I think they will probably just about miss out on European football, which is insane to think that they got to the Champions League final last season. But obviously with Harry Kane being injured and now with Son out injured, who are their two most prolific players, I can't see them getting into that Champions League space at all. And I think there's other teams that are better than them in the league anyway.
I pretty much agree with that. So just to finish on Chelsea.
Yeah, I think Chelsea will get European football. It's difficult to say whether they'll stay in fourth or not. They're on a bit of a slide at the moment. I think since the ban was overturned, there was almost like a mindset change in the Chelsea youngsters, in the likes of Abraham and Mount. They suddenly, all of a sudden, like lost a little bit of form. So maybe it was just a little thing in the head subconsciously thinking, oh, I'm going to get dropped for a big money signing now. And that's impacted their game. Whether that will affect the final 10 game weeks or whatever it is, we'll have to see. But because everybody else is so inconsistent, I could probably see them getting European football and probably Champions League just about by the skin of the teeth. But yeah, I think they'll get European football, and I could pick any Chelsea player. It would probably be Tammy Abraham, just because he's been so decent all season. He's not in the best of form right now, but I still think he offers good value. And I think he's still selected by quite a high percentage of players in FPL as well.
Well, he's injured at the moment. He didn't play yesterday. Batshuayi played, of course. But I think they missed him. Batshuayi had a few chances and he fluffed them. And I think Chelsea are in a bit of a bad spot. They really didn't look that great. They've drawn with Arsenal, drawn with Leicester, lost to United. Yeah, lost to Newcastle. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not. I kind of agree with you. And at the moment, I'm not really interested in anyone from Chelsea. But I've just done my table. I've gone with Chelsea fourth, United fifth, Spurs sixth, Sheffield United seventh, Arsenal eighth, Wolves ninth, Everton 10th, and Burnley 11th. So, yeah, that wraps us up. Game 27 is just around the corner after that City game, and we have the FPL General coming on next week. We're recording with him next Tuesday. Really, really excited to have him on to see how his wild card's going, how his season's going, and looking forward to hearing him talk a bit more about doing FPL full time. So, yeah, we'll see you then.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. And follow at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like A Girl and a Gay in the Gym.
Hi, I'm Richie Swan and this is Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and we're two of Liverpool's leading personal trainers.
This is our podcast, A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. It's a how-to guide of all things dieting and fitness. This isn't your normal boring fitness stuff though. We're going to tell you how it is, no bullshit. What's dieting?
Fuck me, I'm starving. Fuck me, I'm tired. Who the fuck are you looking at? Come over here, I want to eat you. That's what dieting is.
When I started my own little fat loss journey a couple of years ago, I've lost about 4.5 stone now, I think. About mama was big.
I've got a group of girls on a Friday night. Rather than going out and having a drink, they've signed up to this 8-week course where it stops them from getting on it. Well, I went, where was it? I was out the other week. I went for a tie and I walked upstairs and there they all were. 2 hours after PT, and they were on the 5th bottle of Prosecco. Still in the gym kit.
A Girl and a Gay in the Gym from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.